Yahoo West Coast. What's going on?
Hello, Gila. What's up?
We're going to do this one show, one drink thing again?
One show, one drink on the Booze Dancing Podcasting Network.
The amuse-bouche of podcasts.
Exactly. This is right.
All right. I'm going to roll the intro. Welcome to What We Watch When We Drink, a Booze Dancing Media podcast featuring lively discussions about movies, TV shows, and anything else that we're watching while we drink our favorite boozy libations. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And, of course, you can always find us on boozedancing.com. And please, 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 we love to hear from you. So email us at boozedancing@gmail.com with any suggestions, comments, I don't know, drink ideas, cocktail ideas, whatever you want. Just, you know, say hi. We'd love to hear from you.
Say hi.
Yeah, say hello.
So, let's work backwards and go with our one drink. What is our one drink tonight?
Tonight, I am going to find, I'm going back to an oldie, but a very, very, very goodie. A Blackadder Raw Cask Peat Reek.
Holy moly.
From our dear friend, Raj Sabrawal. Of Glass
you
Revolution.
You are in fuego with that thing. That is hot, hot, hot.
I'm going to be. 59.3, baby.
Yowza, yowza, yowza.
59.3. And you know what it's got at the bottom? Bits. Juicy bits of barrel char. Love the bits.
We like the barrel char.
Love the bits.
We do like the barrel char on those black adders, don't we? We love that. Mm-hmm. Yum, yum, yum. Well, I have a... Nothing is as fire-breathing as what you have. I have the classic single malt from... Milk and Honey in Tel Aviv.
Ooh, good stuff.
They're standard line, 46%, and it's quite tasty. Very good, very good. Well,
let me pour. Hang on, I gotta pour. I had a little stuff in my glass. I had to clean it out, so I just did a little pop. Now there's not gonna be a fizz, but there's gonna be a mini no glug either. All right, we got a little bit. We got a little bit there. Give a little bit.
Now, how do you say cheers in Italian?
I don't know. I guess you can go salute, or you can go...
Salute.
Chin-chin.
Chin-chin?
I like a chin-chin.
Okay, let's do that. Let's do a chin-chin.
Ready? Chin-chin.
Chin-chin. Beautiful.
Go.
That's perfect lead-in to our...
Oh, what do you got? What do you got? What do you talk about?
Our show. We are going to talk about the very first episode of The Sopranos.
Oh, interesting. When you woke up this morning, did you find yourself a gun?
Very well said. The Sopranos came out in... What year did that come out in? Did we
1999, I believe.
On HBO. The very first episode sets up a world. No, we don't know what it's going to be. It's setting up a world that we don't know. A New Jersey crime family. And it has a really interesting take on the mob boss that we're... unused to. It's not Vito Corleone.
Nope.
It's not Michael Corleone.
Nope.
It is not, I don't know, pick another guy.
It's not even Henry Hill.
It's not none of those. This is a very different look at how the leader of a organized crime organization deals with being a parent and being a husband and dealing with...
And being a son and being a nephew.
Being a nephew and dealing with depression and dealing with mental health issues and running an organization. It is a very interesting delve into a person. We all deal with all those things. Maybe not the organized crime part of it, but you never saw that with the organized crime as the backdrop.
Question for you. Were you on board when the show first came on, or did you discover it a little bit later down the road?
I don't recall if I was on board at the beginning. I think I came in a little later on.
Yeah, so was I. See, I thought it was going to be cheesy. I don't know. Like, I have this problem where I judge things by, like, what they're called. So, like, prime example, Shawshank Redemption. Refused to watch it. Then I watched it.
Uh-huh.
Loved it. Led Zeppelin. For some reason, I didn't like the name. Then I listened to him. I'm like, oh, what an idiot I am. So, same thing with The Sopranos. I just thought it was going to be, like, a cheesy mob show because it looked kind of cheesy from the ads. But then everyone kept talking about it, and a friend of mine berated me. He's like, you got to watch this show. It's fantastic. And then I got on board, and from as soon as I turned it on, I was hooked right from the beginning.
I think if I didn't know what I knew now, and I watched the episode as I did, I would have probably thought it's not going to be super serious. There's going to be a fair amount of humor involved. Mm-hmm. There's going to be like a comedic angle of family and dealing with your wife and kids and all the things that go on.
It is very funny.
It is. It surprised me, this first episode. It was dark, but there was actually some very humorous moments.
Oh my God, there's some hilarious moments.
Really funny, funny, funny stuff. I recall as I got farther along, it became, the humor was much more dark.
Yeah, it gets a lot darker.
This episode did not feel as dark as I recalled the whole series. Going back to what you said, the name might have turned you off. I think actually watching it with these eyes, the show probably would have turned me on because of the humor.
Oh no, like I said, I didn't know anything about it. So
I didn't, and I didn't either.
1999, we had just gotten married. We got married in March of 99. So I don't even think we had HBO at the time, but then I kept hearing about it and then I was like, all right, let's subscribe. Let's get it. So then we got it. We started watching it and I got sucked
in. So you
in.
Were one of those. You actually subscribed because of the show, because of the buzz.
I think so. I don't remember. There might have been another show we were like interested in watching. I forget because there were a few things at the time. I don't know when Oz was around the same time.
So let's get into what we got here on this thing.
I thought they really did a really good job of, you know, setting the table, if you will, for the whole show.
Totally.
They did a great job of introducing all the characters. You know, in bits and pieces. Maybe not a lot of introduction for everybody, but at least you know, you had a pretty good idea who everybody was. You know, Big Pussy and Carmella and the kids and the mother and Uncle Junior and Artie Bucco and Silvio and Paulie and everybody else.
You're going to get taste of everyone.
Yes.
You're getting the family dynamic.
Yep.
For Tony.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt that Tony Soprano is the main character here.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's another layer of sub main characters. But you're getting his world from the family aspect of it, from the work aspect, that what he's dealing with on a work basis. Mm-hmm. Kind of gets into some pretty heavy organized crime stuff. And you're also getting the issue, the mental health issues he's dealing with, because episode one, he is going to a therapist for the first time because we find out that he had passed out or had a panic attack recently, and it was recommended for him to go see a therapist. Now, of
course, his doctor, Dr. Cusimano, his
Dr.
neighbor.
Dr. Cusimano, played by Lorraine Bracco.
Well, no. Dr. Cusimano's his neighbor. His GP.
Oh, his neighbor, right.
Yeah,
right.
She's Dr. Melfi, so that's his therapist.
Dr. Melfi. So, of course, being the leader of an organized crime syndicate, admitting to anyone that you have mental health issues would be a complete no-no. You'd be seen as a weakling, and that's a reason to be taken over. It's funny now because today, this is not it's not the issue that it once was.
No.
Right? There is talk of mental health issues in every TV show, it seems like.
Yep.
Therapists are just part of the shows nowadays. So we're in a different world now than we once were, but it's seeing someone can I say mafia?
Is that okay? Yeah, sure. Mafia? You could say mafia. Organized crime, whatever you want to call it.
Organized crime.
Shall we call it La Cosa Nostra?
We can, sure.
Okay.
And in your wonderful state of New Jersey. So it's very different and it's set up so well. All of those things, those mm-hmm. three big things are all set up perfectly in that first episode.
I mean, between Tony's insecurities and just all his thoughts on like where he is in terms of the grand scheme of things, you know, where he's at the end of the story as opposed to the beginning of the story or the middle of the story. You know, and just everything, this the stuff with his parents, or I should say his mom, his uncle, all the family dynamics. It's interesting, you know, where it's going. He has that whole tirade where he talks about, you know, how there's no honor anymore and everyone just kind of gets arrested and flips and turns on all their friends and everybody becomes a federal witness, et cetera, et cetera.
It's funny because it's so universal, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many universal themes in this show. The prior generation is better than the current generation.
Right.
the current generation doesn't respect the prior generation or generations. That's right. Just
it's
universal,
the same
right?
thing all the time. I mean, it's
all the same. And moms and sons, moms and daughters, fathers and sons, fathers and daughters, butting heads, universal. What do we do with aging parents? How do we treat them? And
let's
their
not go down that road.
I will leave your own personal issues out of this.
Yes.
How do you parent with this background that you have with your own parents? How do you become a parent or a better parent? And you try to be a better parent from what you've learned. Or do you become a better parent? How do you manage people? How do you manage employees? How do you manage business issues? These are all universal. We rarely see it, though, in organized crime environment.
What do you think of the style of the show? I mean, I think it took some elements from, let's say, more like Goodfellas than Godfather.
Yeah.
They were doing the marathon before The Many Saints of Newark aired on HBO. I would pop in and watch an episode here and there. And it was interesting because it was a lot like with The Wire, where they didn't use like a soundtrack or incidental music. I'm sorry, the music was only incidental. If music was playing at the time of the scene, then there was, you know, music in the scene. But in the first episode, it was more like a normal show, you know, with a soundtrack.
Correct.
And music and all that kind of stuff. And they played some songs that were like in A Bronx Tale. So, you know, I think they were just trying to like maybe, how do you want to say it? Maybe they were just trying to like acclimatize everybody to this, saying, look, this is what the shows are based on, but this is not going to be those shows like A Bronx Tale and Goodfellas, you know, but it was kind of like to bring people in.
Or they hadn't really thought it out yet.
Right.
Later in the season of season one, they kind of, maybe we can be a little more thought-provoking with our musical choices.
Right.
And
but there was a pretty big lag between the pilot and the second episode. I think it was like a year or two between the two.
Is that right?
If you go back and watch the second episode, look at how much older the kids are. AJ and...
Do you mean in terms of...
Just time. When they shot the pilot versus when they shot 2, 3, 4, whatever. Because I just remember AJ looked like a little kid. He looked like he's like 10 in the first episode. And then he comes back and he's like, you know, a 15-year-old boy. You know?
Well, I'm looking at the list of episodes. Season 1, episode 1, aired on January 10th, 1999. Second one aired on January 17th, 1999. I don't know when it was made.
Right, that's what I mean. Like in terms of, you know, they made the pilot and then eventually got picked up.
Interesting. First season had 13 episodes.
I think they're all 13.
You know, you said you're introduced to this world and you're introduced to all these people. You think about what an amazing cast of characters, at least in season one. I'm not sure who's missing in that first season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're getting a little touch of a lot of people. You're getting more of Carmela because she's, you know, his wife. You're getting a lot of Dr. Melfi. You're getting Christopher, a lot of him. Okay. And a little bit of his gang, a little bit in pieces. You really get the sense that this could be something, that this is an interesting family, interesting group of people, great actors that you want to kind of attach yourselves to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm like you. I'm 99% sure I came in late to this. They're mesmerizing, all of them.
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, by the way, I looked it up here. So it was shot in the summer of 97, but the series didn't go into production until a year later in 1998. And you can kind of tell because the Meadow... They're saying here Meadow got a nose job between the two seasons. And you can kind of tell.
Funny.
She looks a lot different from one episode to the other.
You know, so many, especially in mobster mob movies, post-Godfather, there is an attempt to look at the life of the person in a bigger sense. And because it's about family and it's about your place... in the family and your place in the family's history.
Right.
And I think this does that too. And there's moments where you know that Tony is really looking back and he's looking forward. He wants more than what his father did for himself. And he wants more for his kids than he has for himself. But he looks back and says, the people before me set all this up for us. And I'm going to set this up for my kids. And hopefully my kids will carry this on, too. There are big topics here. We don't know where this is going to go, of course. It's episode one.
But you get some breadcrumbs, though.
You do. Yeah, that's where I'm going. Is you definitely get some breadcrumbs that it's not just going to be a sitcom. It's funny, but it's not going to be a sitcom.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to not just be these little arcs of stories. Right. There's going to be more here. And of course it was. It was way bigger than all of those little
Well, and what was interesting too was even just the relationship between Tony and Carmela. You know, you could tell they had a lot of history, obviously, because they've been married for however many years. But she knows he was screwing around. You know, she calls him out on it a couple times. You know, there's like the one scene in the restaurant where she's like, you know, he's got a confession that he's starting to see the therapist, but she thinks he's going to say
something else.
He's like, "What are you doing?" Always with the drama. Oh, it's hysterical. She's so good. She is just so good on the show.
She is really good. She actually reminds me of a wife of a friend of mine, and she plays the mom side really well.
Uh-huh.
She plays the wife side really well. She's hoarding money because she knows that this thing all could fall apart.
Yep.
With Tony and whatever business he's running can fall apart. I don't know that I felt watching this episode where I thought she was going to be an equal player in the show, because it's really Tony's show. Or is she going to be just one of many characters? But she definitely felt powerful.
Oh, yeah.
Strong, I should say.
Honestly feel that, you know, as the show went on, there were a lot of ups and downs, but the one constant that was always good was Tony and Carmela's relationship and how that played out.
Yes.
That's kind of what always kept me going.
Yeah, and I think the relationship between Tony and Christopher is an interesting one as well.
Yeah.
There's that father-son relationship, even from episode one. You know, he wants him to be better. He wants him to take this thing seriously.
Right.
Put some, like all of us with our kids. Hey, come on, take this seriously. Take your job seriously. Take school seriously. Like I did, except we didn't either, right? Or Tony was in school for what he said, a year and a half or something like that.
A semester and a half. He understands Freud.
Semester and a half.
He's great, though. He's so good. And, you know, when you go back and you watch it, you realize how big of a tragedy it was that he died so young, much like Michael K. Williams. Yeah. He was just so good. And even before, I mean, I remember seeing him in bit parts in movies. You know, did you ever see True Romance?
Yeah.
He was fantastic. I mean, he was just evil and sinister in that movie. You know, he's just a big, intimidating guy.
This role feels like it was made for him.
Absolutely.
Whether David Chase had him in mind for this when the script was being written, it's him.
Oh, it's perfect.
I suppose you could argue there's somebody else could play it, but so.
No, I can't see anybody else in the role. I really can't. I can't see anybody else in the Carmela role.
I wasn't fond of Lorraine Bracco. Is that her name?
Lorraine Bracco.
I wasn't fond of her acting in this.
Nah, she was okay. She was a little stiff.
I think she didn't ask enough therapy questions.
Okay.
I think she was convincing enough as a therapist for me. But the fact that there's a therapist talking to a mobster in 1999, that's pretty amazing.
I also like the one little scene though when they're first talking and he's asking her like, you know, that she, oh, she's, you know, he knows that she's Italian. And says, you know, what town was your family from? And they're like, oh, I'm from blah, 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 blah. He goes, you know, my mom would have liked it if you and me got together back in the day. Because I guess they were sort of from the same area in Naples.
I do recall this from originally seeing it. I'm not a Springsteen fan. So I only heard from my friends who are Springsteen fans about all these Springsteen band guys. And that little Steven is in this thing.
Right, Stevie Van Zandt.
I didn't really know who he was and so much. If I didn't know, I'd have never guessed he was a guitar player.
No, me neither.
He's just an amazing actor. He's great.
He's very good.
You know, we love the series. I know you did.
Yep.
It changed television in a lot of ways. It changed HBO in a lot of ways.
Oh, absolutely. You could argue it launched the, what do they call it now, prestige TV. I mean, that was really the start.
You said it yourself that you're pretty sure that you subscribe because of it. That's what we have streaming services today. Oh, wait, I need to subscribe to HBO Max or I need to subscribe to Netflix so I can see this thing. They were the forerunners. This show was the forerunner to all of that what we're living through now 20 years later.
Right. We wouldn't have had Breaking Bad and we wouldn't have had Mad Men or any of that stuff without The Sopranos.
Well, and then also that's a whole different topic, that it would be the anti-hero hero. Right. The bad guy who is we all love in some ways, and that he was probably the first big one in TV.
Yep.
Right? He wasn't a good guy. He wasn't a detective trying to find the bad guy.
No.
He was the bad guy trying not to be found.
Mm-hmm.
So Tony Soprano. What did you say? Chin Chin?
Chin Chin.
I want to say. Chin Chin to the Sopranos.
Yes, yes.
Chin Chin.
Chin Chin.
Chin Chin. One show, one drink is another. We have another episode down the hatch. And we'll be back with another one on the Booze Dancing Podcasting Network soon. Chin Chin Chin. Is it Chin 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 or Chin Chin?
Just Chin Chin.
Chin Chin.
C-I-N-C-I-N. Chin Chin.
C-I-N-C-I-N. Like Chinzano.
There you go. That's some kind of, I don't know. What is Chinzano? No, well, I think it's like a vermouth.
A digestive?
Yeah, one of those.
It's a vermouth?
It's one of those.
Oh, it's a vermouth. Okay.
It's one of those.
See, it all comes back to alcohol. Isn't
exactly.
That great?
Shall I take us out?
Take us out.
All right. So, folks.
To New Jersey.
To New Jersey? I'm going
to
wake up.
To the Turnpike.
To the Turnpike. What is this now?
Or wherever they are.
Was it Being John? You ever see Being John Malkovich? Yeah, you know how, like, when they exit John Malkovich's brain, he winds up on, like, Exit 52 on the New Jersey Turnpike.
Right.
That's where we're going to go right now.
Out near the Butta Bing or whatever the strip joint is?
Yes, yes. All right, let's take us out here. All right, folks, if you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Audible. And, of course, you can always find us on boozedancing.com. And please email us with suggestions, comments, or whatever. Just say hi, boozedancing@gmail.com. Sir, always a pleasure.
Chin chin.
Chin chin. Arrivederci.
Arrivederci.
Yeah, that too.